The purpose of this video is to provide an overview on the use of the Zazetsan no-touch torture technique to break individuals and destroy families. Zazetsan is a process of character assassination and threats. Its purpose is to poison every aspect of a person's life. Also called Kointelpro, no-touch torture, DND, Zazetsan was developed by the former East German secret police, the Stasi, to persecute dissidents. Today, some spy agencies in democratic countries are illegally using Zazetsan techniques on behalf of power elites and corporate interests, and for reasons that have nothing whatsoever to do with national security. Spy agencies such as Canada's CSIS and the UK's MI5 and MI6 are morphing into a secret police and persecuting innocent citizens for private interests. Since our politicians believe that these spy agencies can damage their careers, they are too scared of them to provide effective oversight. This video provides a blueprint in Zazetsan, using the experiences of Patricia and Roderick Russell as a case study.
I'm Patricia Russell. This is my husband, Roderick. We're going to discuss the experiences we've had with Zazetsan. This all started after Roderick left Grosvenor International. This was a company which had head offices in San Francisco and Vancouver, Canada. There he was group controller. Before joining Grosvenor, he had an excellent track record of achievement and promotion. Yet he was blacklisted. He never again found a job in Canada.
I also had an excellent record of achievement with Grosvenor. Indeed, when I left Grosvenor, they gave me an excellent written reference, which I still have. Furthermore, during my notice period, I was twice asked to withdraw my resignation and stay on. Yet despite all this, I was blacklisted to the extent that over the next 20 years, I would never again find a permanent job in Canada. I should tell you that Grosvenor denies that they or any of their staff have ever made derogatory comments about me. A prominent lawyer has said of Grosvenor, "That organization has far too much power." Certainly the press have reported that their owner has mentioned his high-level relationships with British intelligence and he is known to be close to royalty. I was told that a senior executive in Grosvenor's Vancouver office also had spy agency connections. Over the years, the lies that the spy agencies have spread about me have varied. This is common in Zazetsan. Zazetsan lies are usually whoppers. As a German journalist said of Zazetsan, "It's about manipulating people by typical Stasi methods, hearsay, gossip, lies, spreading rumours." Later on, the intimidation and harassment started. We were living in West Vancouver at the time. We began to get unwelcome phone calls to our line with no answer. Hundreds and hundreds of such calls. We would pick up the phone, say hello, and nobody would answer. The caller never said a thing. Although, if we stayed in the line long enough, the caller would eventually hang up. We got between 2 to 6 unwanted calls a day, 4 to 5 days a week, for over a year. And then there was an occupied car parked at the foot of our garden. Most times when I walked out the front door, the car would be there, but the driver would start up his engine and drive off immediately. On a couple of occasions, he even parked in my carport and then started up and drove off when I came out of the house. Our home was under surveillance and being staked out. This was not covert, but overt surveillance, and they wanted us to know it. And that's intimidation. And then, when I went out somewhere, I was noticeably being followed. I was being stalked. And as for our email, it was going haywire. So I was being professionally lied about to render me unemployable and without funds, while also ostracizing us from the community and for those who might have helped. Meanwhile, we were getting harassed with hundreds of unwanted phone calls. Our house was under surveillance. I was being stalked, and our email was going haywire. That's Zosetsun. And so it might have stayed, except that I was crossing a street on a green light in London when a motorbike was accelerated very rapidly and straight at me. It swerved, I jumped, and it missed me by a hair's breadth. A few minutes later, a car stopped alongside me, and the hood who was driving it pointed out how easy it would be to kill me.
All of these incidents are detailed on papers that Roderick has put on the internet. Their URLs are displayed at the end of this video for you to see.
Running a motorbike at me was the start of a new process of threats. The old implied threats continued. The stalking, the telephone calls, the overt surveillance, the smear campaigns, the blacklisting, still continued and still continue today. But now my children and I were getting death threat calls, some of which are recorded, and threats from people in the street. Our dwelling house was smashed into by a vehicle that destroyed the brick porch. Shots were fired at my eldest son in front of a witness. I was hit in the head by a pellet fired from a moving vehicle, and shots twice ricocheted around dogs that we were walking. Here are some categories of Zosetsun, as Zosetsun persecution comes from all angles. Before getting into the extent of the cover-up that goes with Zosetsun, and the illegal involvement of several of our spy agencies, I'd just like to refer to two other topics. One is called street theatre, and the other is the contribution that the signals electronic world makes to Zosetsun, particularly with cyberbullying, computer, telephone, and email interference. Street theatre is a known tool of Zosetsun, where the spy agencies and others act out skits that are aimed at and often threatening to the target victim. For example, in one skit, a man acted having been stabbed in the throat. In another skit, a man appeared to have had his head kicked in. And in a third skit, they used vehicle license plates to send me the message, rat gag, to try and stop me from complaining about what was happening. It is routine that targets of the intelligence services have all of their communications, mail, email, telephone, if actively controlled. Telephone calls are tapped and listened into. Letters are intercepted and read, and also email. But it goes far beyond tapping. Calls are interfered with or cut off in real time. Some emails don't go where they are sent, and some letters are not delivered. A senior Canadian intelligence operative said this about Canada's intelligence agency, CSIS, and I'll quote him because I think it's worth it. He said, "Living under CSIS investigation means that reliable contact is difficult or impossible. Sometimes the phone lines sound busy or disconnected or reassigned to a third party when they're not. Or you may get referred to a voicemail that isn't recording after the beep. Email is seldom received by me. I haven't received a single call on my cell phone throughout the summer," unquote. In the world of cyberbullying, I've had quite a lot of comments, very vicious and nasty ones, put about me on the internet, but there was one in particular that I thought worth mentioning. Some years ago, there was a campaign to try and persuade me, or at least persuade people who were trying to persuade me, to commit suicide, and there were some very, very nasty websites put up. I was able to trace them back to source, collect the evidence, and I sent it to the police. Cyberbullying goes beyond that, of course. I've started up my computer in the morning to find a satanic screen rather than my normal screen being presented, or to find a screen with a pistol pointed at me being presented, or to find a screen with the words "House of Tears" flashing across it being presented.
And cyberbullying, of course, goes far beyond that. It goes into your computer because it encompasses spy programs that read your database. It encompasses viruses that harm and destroy your computers. There are times when the perpetrators of Zazetson want to demonstrate to their victim that they can control his computer as if they had a separate terminal, which is more or less what it is, I think. I've sat typing out documents only to find paragraphs switching around 90 degrees, items I've just typed being falsely eliminated, items I've saved being deleted. I've found that when I've put things on other people's websites, it has occasionally been interfered with there. I recently sent some comments on a website for a magazine in the UK, and it was interfered with in their database, not in mine, not in transit. We were able to prove that, and the magazine wrote about it, and I've included this in the Russell Zazetson report. So, one of the things that goes on is constant interference, constant spying, constant threats. That is the electronic side of Zazetson. But then there's your emails. Quite frankly, sometimes I receive emails that are sent to me, sometimes I don't. Sometimes my emails get to source, sometimes they don't get where I sent them. You really have no idea. It happens all the time. Sometimes emails that I've kept in my records get obliterated. I've twice had my emails in my database, 2,000 emails, completely annihilated. And as for telephone tapping, it's much the same, just par for the course. Your telephones go through an interception center, so they can be controlled in real time, not just tapped. At one point, they played a game with us. One of my sons, who's in Europe, would phone once a week. For a year, he could only get through in the third phone call. And when I complained about it in the telephone, they stopped him getting through altogether. We've had interference to the extent that if I say something on a call that they don't particularly like, I'll get a noise of interference or just simply cut off. It happens all the time. People who've tried to call me have been told that my line is discontinued or sent to a voicemail that I don't get or just don't get through. Yet I'm here, they don't get through. So there's constant communications interference, whether it's computer-based emails within the computer or within the telephone itself. All of this electronic snooping and cyberbullying is referred to in some detail in the report Russell Zazetson, starting on page 75 of the report, section J, My Communications.
And that brings to an end the first part of this two-part video on our experiences of Zazetson. In the second and perhaps more shocking part, we go on to look at the silence and cover-up that surrounds Zazetson. Indeed, without a cover-up, there could be no Zazetson. We look at what others have said about Zazetson, including former spooks and the spy agencies themselves. We discuss the lack of effective political oversight over the intelligence agencies. And we look at actual slides used by a real spy agency to train its operatives in Zazetson. Do please look at part two of this video. I think you will find it interesting. For those who prefer the printed word, here are some URLs where articles that I've written can be found. Thank you. Thank you for looking at this second of a two-part video on our experiences of Zazetson. Just to quickly recap, in the first video, we discussed what Zazetson is and looked at some examples. We looked at the basic formula behind Zazetson. We looked at some of the techniques used in a Zazetson persecution. and you can see why Zazetsin is sometimes called no-touch torture. We looked at our experiences of the world of electronic spying and cyberbullying. In this second part of our two-part video on Zazetsin, we will discuss the cover-up that is so key to Zazetsin. We'll review what others have said about Zazetsin, and we'll look at actual slides used by a spy agency to train its operatives in Zazetsin. But Zazetsin starts with a cover-up, a shutdown of help, a cover-up conspiracy to pervert the course of justice by ensuring that there is never any proper investigation. Once the secret intelligence agencies are involved, people are scared to help. The cover-up conspiracy is by itself very threatening, since it is a denial of basic justice by the state. It leaves you unprotected. When I first went to the police, I was absolutely amazed that they didn't check a single witness. They didn't want to know the truth. They had what is known as willful blindness. So I went to the Home Office in Britain, and eventually I contacted the minister who is responsible for Britain's security services and its secret police. Her name was Hazel Blairs. I contacted her through my Member of Parliament. Three times she denied our request for an honest investigation, each time citing a reason that was untruthful. In fact, her three reasons are mutually exclusive, since they all contradict each other. The only thing she wanted to do was ensure there was never any investigation, as presumably her masters had told her. The minister was also chairman of then Prime Minister Blair's ruling Labour Party. When we came to Canada, much the same. Back in 2011, I brought my complaint against CSIS, Canada's intelligence organisation, to their oversight committee, the SIRC. Why I had brought the complaint, I was getting intimidated and threatened by them just for having made the complaint. Indeed, the chairman of the SIRC was on record as having said on the radio that CSIS wouldn't do these things, this despite the fact that the Canadian press had reported to the contrary. Just a couple of weeks after the ridiculous statement by Dr. Porter, he was forced to resign from the Security Intelligence Review Committee under somewhat of a cloud, and subsequently under an even bigger cloud. He is in jail at present in Panama, where he faces extradition to Canada for charges that include fraud, conspiracy, and bribe-taking. Such was the level of control over Canada's intelligence services. I also went through intermediaries to senior government ministers in Canada, and again, not a single witness has been checked. You can check the details yourself by going to my report, Russell Zazetsin, and looking at page 89 to 125 that specify the details of cover-up. It talks about the UK cover-up, section L. Under section M, it talks about the cover-up in Canada. So in typical Stasi style, the formula used for Zazetsin is always the same. First to slander and character assassinate, then to threaten, intimidate and harass, then to cover up by ensuring no investigation takes place, then to say you're nuts when you complain about the cover up. Stephen Knight writes in his book The Brotherhood, "By setting up a situation that most people will think of as fantasy, these people can poison every part of a person's life." Many of the attacks in Zazetsin are not mere fantasy attacks or suggestions, but very real. Shots fired at someone in front of witnesses, for example. Or recorded death threats. Or a car smashing one's porch to bits. These are all very real and very witnessed. It is a mistake of some to see the Zetsun as only a psychological attack. That's a part of it, particularly in its early stages, but it's only a small part of the Zetsun. In fact, most of Zetsun attacks are not psychological at all. Being harassed out of one's apartment, having one's children threatened, or having a motorbike driven at one, that's very real. The psychology behind the Zetsun is not in fooling the citizen who is the target victim, but in fooling the general public into the mistaken belief that nothing much is happening. And what do others, and indeed the spy agencies themselves, say about the Zetsun? Well, there's quite a lot of information, actually. I've written a report called The Zetsun, Some Precedents, which lists 25 precedents of where the Zetsun has happened to others. Nothing to do with me, but from Nobel laureates, former spies themselves who've turned into victims of the Zetsun, senior newspaper reporters, and many others. Their history is interesting. It's so similar to my own, and you can check most of it out for yourself on the internet. And then there is the press. So Zetsun is the terminology used by the UK's The Sunday Times in their article Lies, Threats and Whistleblowers, in which journalist Liam Clark wrote about the use of Zetsun by UK intelligence, saying that he had come across it, I'll quote him, many times. And Canada's Globe and Mail published an article referring to the persecution of innocent citizens in Canada, calling it D&D, and saying, lacking a case, CSIS, that is Canada's intelligence agency, disrupted suspect's life. Check out the word D&D, as it is commonly used to describe the Zetsun techniques. Indeed, years ago, the Church Committee of the United States Senate, inquiring into what it called COINTELPROL, another name for the Zetsun, referred to the illegal use of disrupt and discredit, i.e. D&D techniques, to persecute innocent citizens, saying, and I'll quote them, vicious tactics have been employed. But what do our intelligence agencies say themselves? Well, recently Edward Snowden leaked training material used by the UK's GCHQ intelligence organisation that was marked top secret. No wonder they wanted it kept secret, since the material demonstrates that UK intelligence is training their staff in the use of the Zetsun. Look at some of the documentation for yourself. Here are some slides used in their training program. JTRIG is a department of GCHQ. GCHQ is the cyber electronic signals arm of British intelligence. You'll notice on this training slide that they have used that they're talking about disrupting, degrading, deceiving people. That is not the language of an intelligence operation, but of a secret police. You'll also note that they have shared this slide with other members of the Five Eyes intelligence community. And pushing boundaries they certainly are, with slides showing how to discredit a company, stop deals, or ruin business relationships, set up honey traps. And the four D's again: deny, disrupt, degrade, deceive. Online covert action with the intent of achieving this: create cognitive stress, physiological stress, affective stress. If one can achieve all that, one will have destroyed the victim entirely. Note the reference to the four D's and its relationship to the D&D reported in Canada and the D&D disrupt and discredit techniques unearthed by the Church Committee. As we see from the slides, there is no doubt that UK intelligence is training its staff in the Zetsun and sharing this training program with others in the Five Eyes intelligence community. Indeed, in Canada, in 2006, before the Parliamentary Standing Committee on National Security and Defence, Mr. Jack Hooper, then Deputy Director of CSIS, Canada's intelligence agency, describing a particular case,
said that as there was not sufficient evidence to proceed with charges, they moved, and I'll quote him, they moved quickly into a diffuse and disrupt mode. Mr. Cooper went on to say, at the end of the day, if prosecution is not viable, there are other techniques. Indeed, WikiLeaks unearthed a US diplomatic cable in which the former CSIS chief, Mr. Judd, admitted to a US State Department official that CSIS had been, I'll quote him, vigorously harassing people in Canada. At the beginning of this video, Patricia and I posed the question, how might Sazetson affect you? Or to put it bluntly, why should you care? Well, let me give you three reasons. The first reason is, it might happen to you, or a relative, or a close friend. Sazetson is unusual, but it is nevertheless more common than you think. Never did I anticipate anything like this ever happening to me and my family. The second reason is that you probably want an effective intelligence service to protect you from horror stories like the terrible events of 9/11 or the 7/7 London tube bombings. Well, you can get that from an efficient intelligence service. You don't get that from a secret police, since the functions are different. An intelligence service, to put it simply, is about finding out information, collecting it. A secret police service is about hiding information. They are mutually exclusive. And as our security intelligent world morphs more into a secret police service, we may be losing some of the protection against terrorism that we thought we had. To put it straight, a security intelligence service is about the quiet collection of truthful information and its analysis. Its objective is getting at the truth. Contrast this with a secret police service, whose job is to serve power elites and not the state as a whole. They are agents provocateurs, spreaders of lies, harassers, intimidators, sometimes even murderers. Their objective is to hide the truth. And then there is a third area. It's called rule of law. Because to me, Sazetson all begs the question, where else are power elites pulling the government's chain? What is the point of voting congressmen or members of parliament to pass laws when power elites in the secret services can flout them at will? And where else is this lack of rule of law affecting our democracy? To me, Sazetson is more than just an attack on civil liberties. It's an attack on the very underpinning of democracy, rule of law. Sazetson may just be the biggest single threat to democracy since the end of the Cold War. Thank you very much for reviewing my video. On the screen, you will find three URLs. These URLs are places where some of the articles and papers I've written can be found. They can also be found by using search engines on the internet. May I just draw to your attention two of my papers that are referred to in this particular video. One of them is the paper, the 125-page paper, Russell Sazetson. It is a blow-by-blow account of what has happened. It shows the various incidents, the level of proof, and the details of the cover-up conspiracy. Over 120 of the incidents are supported by corroborative evidence. Thank you very much for viewing it.